you beautiful people's doing? Our God is good. Amen. We bless you, Lord. We bless you this morning. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Jesus Christ. We can't do nothing without you. Who are we going to serve today? We're going to serve the world, or we're going to serve Jesus Christ? Jesus! Jesus, yes! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is Jehovah Jireh. God is going to provide for you. Abe and Isaac, they're walking, and Isaac looks at Daddy, and he said, Papa, we got the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Nissi. Moses was fighting the Amalekites, and he couldn't get through, and he held up his hand, and God helped him, and he said, Jehovah, you are my Jehovah Nissi. You are my banner. I cannot fight without you, but I lost myself. I lost my pride. I lost my past, but you're my banner. I'm sticking with God, Jehovah Nissi. Oh, if you're sick today and a doctor, you know how doctors do. The doctors give you some diagnosis, and then we give you a treatment, and then we give you a prognosis, and sometimes that prognosis is bad. But you say, doctor, that might be a fact, but this right here is the truth. Jehovah Rapha, he is your healer. No antibiotics, no drugs, no stents can do what Jesus can do. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says that by his stripes you were already healed. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Roi. He is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He restores your soul, your broken soul, your past. He restores your soul. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you are gonna fear no evil, for he is with you. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. You know what that means? He will fight for you. You need only to be still. You got a pebble to throw at somebody? Keep it to yourself. Ask the Lord to drop his boulder. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is with you, and he's your companion. If you're lonely, if you're tired, if you're anxious and you're broken, you go to God, Jehovah Shammah. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. He will never sabotage you. He will always love you. He will always forgive you, and he will always carry you. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, he is good. He is good. We bless his name. We bless his name. You got your Bibles with you? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going 1 Corinthians chapter 10, studying two verses. We're studying chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verses 12 and 13. Pastor Dudley was gracious to invite me here, and I'm humbled, I'm honored. Anytime you and I get to touch this book. This book is alive. This book is sacred. This book is not just empty words. This book is your life. You want a blood transfusion? This is it. You want a surgery? This is it. You want to change your past? This is it. The Bible changes you. You can come as you are, but you ain't gonna leave as you are. You're gonna be new in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. So let's read these two verses together, loved ones. So here we go in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And in verse 13, we read, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and his beautiful sacred word. Hallelujah. So this is in Corinthians. And you may wonder, like, how do you get this letter? How is this book in the Bible? And why is it called Corinthians? And where is Corinth at? Well, let's look. Let's look at our map. So this is a picture of Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. And down here you see Syria, and down here Jerusalem. And this right here is modern day Greece. And this is Italy, of course, everybody knows the boot. So there was a dude named Paul. He was at first Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee. He was bright, he was amazing. He was going up and up and up and high. And he was gonna be ultimately the high priest, I believe. And so ultimately, he was after Christians. He was trying to tear him down. And God got a hold of him and said, stop your way. I will stop you now. I will stop you cold. And he went blind and he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And then he became a Christ follower. Paul took three missionary journeys. The first missionary journey was right here in Asia Minor. That was it. And then he went back down to Jerusalem. The second missionary journey is when we're going to get this letter. The second missionary journey, he goes all the way up to Troas of Asia Minor. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, he gets a dream. And he sees a man standing here in Macedonia and saying, come, we need your help, we need your help. And so Paul goes across and he comes to Philippi. And by the way, that's where you get Philippians. And then he ultimately goes to Thessalonica, which by the way, that's when we get 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then ultimately makes his way to Corinth right here in Greece. And he stays there. We know that in Acts chapter 18, verse 11, he stays there for a year and a half, 1.5 years. And then he decides, the Lord calls him to go to Ephesus, back to Asia Minor. And he stays in Ephesus for 3 years. When he's in Ephesus, he gets a letter. He gets a letter from the Corinth church. Because when Paul was in Corinth, he made this church, he built this church. There were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were lovers of God, but he gets a letter. It's about 55 AD when he writes this letter. And he gets the letter, we'll go all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, where Chloe and the family write the letter to Paul and say, Paul, this church is going wacko. They're going crazy. Some wrong things are happening here. We can't have this. We got to stop this. And then also in chapter 16, he gets word from Stephanas. And Stephanas says, bad things are happening. And in chapter 1, verse 12, you see that what's happening in the church. Some people are saying, I follow Peter. Some people say, I follow Apollos. Some people say, I follow Paul. And he's like, hey, what are you talking about? In chapter 2, verse 2, we only follow Jesus Christ. He is crucified. He is resurrected. That's all. We don't follow no man. We follow Jesus and Jesus alone. And in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I don't know what y'all are doing, but I want you to know something. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your body is a temple of the living God. Treat it like a temple of the living God. Walk like it, eat like it, act like it, and live like it, because you belong to Jesus Christ. When he gets to chapter 5, he's like, my mind about to blow up. That's not what he said. That's what I said. That's what I thought he said. But he said, my mind about to blow up, y'all. Okay, why is it gonna blow up? Because chapter 5, verse 1, he's like, I don't believe this. You got a man who's having relationships with his stepmother, and you guys are all proud of that. It's okay to have that in your church. He says, I'm gonna call sin, sin, and I'm gonna take this out. This does not belong here. How can you say that we're so free, we in liberty? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I could do what I want to do, yeah, Lord. Bless your name. Do crazy, and then, oh, bless your name, Lord. He's like, nah, we're not going to have none of that. You call sin, sin, you get this boy out. If he don't repent, you kick him out. He's got to repent. You come to the cross as you are, but you ain't going to leave as you are. The blood of Jesus changes. The blood of Jesus changes you. how the past goes away, the new has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to chapter 7, and all of a sudden, he's writing about marriage because they have questions for him in this letter. He's like, hey, what about marriage? He writes it down. Then we come to chapter 8, 9, and 10, yes? And here's what our study is about. And this is what he tackles in these chapters. He's like, okay, y'all talking about meat that you buy and you bring it to your house. And some people are like, you can't have that meat. Don't touch that meat. Why? Because it was sacrificed to idols. See, Corinth was a metropolitan place. It was jumping. I mean, it was like Hollywood, Nashville, Manhattan, Dubai, Hong Kong. All put together. People do the jiggy, they do all kinds of stuff. Merchants come through there, money, and then go to the temple of Aphrodite, and the Aphrodite temple had 1,000 prostitutes. 1,000, think about that. 1,000 prostitutes. And they're writing, well, can we eat the meat? And Paul says, look, them idols that they sacrifice to, they're nothing. They're just wood. See, if you cut an idol, it don't bleed. But you cut my Jesus, he bled for you. Big difference. That's why we follow Jesus. That's why we don't follow no man, no idol, no nothing. And so Paul says, bring it home. Do what you're gonna do. Bless the food in the name of Jesus. Go on, eat it. But he said, if I hear that y'all going to the temple and you're sacrificing there and you're eating the meat, and not only did they eat the meat, and why would they go to the temple anyway? Because they were business people and they had to have contracts with the people of the world, and they're doing all these kind of contracts. And he's saying, okay, so you're compromising your life by going to the temple, not only partaking of the meat, but having relationship with these prostitutes? No, I'm gonna call sin, sin. You stop that right now. You cannot do that. You're harming your body, you're harming yourself, you're harming your spirit, and you're harming your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stop it. So Paul begins. He says, I'm gonna give you a history lesson. And we're gonna get to chapter 10, verse 12 ultimately, but he says, I'm gonna give you, in chapter 10, verse 1, I'm gonna give you a history lesson so you may learn something. We trying to get rid of history and burn it? No, baby, you keep history so that we may learn our mistakes, what bad things man has done to man, so that we may learn from it and act justly and kindly and walk humbly. That's why we need to keep history. And Paul says, I'm gonna give you some history. In verse 1, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1, he says, don't be ignorant of this, brothers. And I fear, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you and I are not ignorant in entertainment, and you and I are not ignorant in statistics. You and I are not ignorant when it comes to MLB or NBA, but you and I are ignorant when it comes to the Word of God, and it's time to wake up and get into the Word, because it is your life, your life. If somebody is sick, we give them antibiotics, or somebody having a heart attack, we open up their hearts with stents. You want your spiritual life to open up. This is your life. This is how you walk in Christ. Get into it. It will give you joy and peace that you're lacking. Hallelujah. So now he's like, I'm going to take you back to our forefathers. And they went through the cloud and all passed through the sea. What's he talking about? Well, the Israelites, they got out of Egypt. They got out of Pharaoh's hand. And that stands for sin. And Pharaoh stands for, it's a typology of Satan. They got out of it. Their bonds broke. Slavery broke for 400 years. And they went through the Red Sea. And he says, when you guys went through, how many people went through the Red Sea? 70, 100, 2,000? Try 3 million. 3 million Israelites went through the Red Sea. And that's a picture, a typology of breaking the chains of slavery and spiritual slavery and going through the Red Sea through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Holy Spirit opens up the doors, your past is in the past and you come out as a new creation in Jesus Christ. So they went through the Red Sea, and he says, and you had the cloud? You had the cloud, and you're like, what's the cloud? Well, wherever they went, they had this cloud that took them to wherever they were going to, right? And it was God's presence, number one. It was number two, God's protection. It was number three, God's direction. But in the day, it gets hot in the wilderness, y'all. It's not like AC. They had their own AC system. And it never had failed. You don't have to call Sears or whatever, like, my AC is down and I'm hot. Help me out. No, the AC was there for him. And at night, when it got dark, it became a fire. And it gave them light so that they could see, and it gave them warmth so they don't have to be cold. God is so good, by the way. I told you he was Jehovah Jireh. I told you he's gonna provide. I told you let it go and let him go to God. Go to God. And so, now in verse 2, he says that they were all baptized into Moses. And how so? Well, they identified with Moses. He was their leader. And you and I, when we come to Jesus Christ and go through the Red Sea and say, look, I messed up, man. My past is ugly, and I don't like it one bit. And today, I'm not doing right. And I don't know, Satan's like, yeah, you're a bad person. And it's time for you to say, shut up, Satan. Get out of my face. You're a loser. My God is the winner, and I'm victorious. Get out of my face. It's time. Satan's in people's head all the time. Don't put them in your head. Get them out. Put them under your feet. Let's go. You and I are baptized in Jesus Christ. And in Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, Moses said, there's a prophet coming after me that's going to proclaim the word of God. Who's that prophet? Jesus Christ. He prophesied about Jesus Christ. I hear all these preachers saying, well, the Old Testament is no good. Baby, the Old Testament talks about Jesus. And if it talks about Jesus, it's all good. And so we have them going through the Red Sea. In verse 3, he said, all of y'all ate the meat, all of them. All of them, what meat? It means food, and it was manna. Manna rained from heaven in the wilderness. This manna is from Vons, y'all. Kroger or Aldi something, but it's not from, okay, I just want y'all to know this ain't the real thing. It's from Vons. But they had manna. I mean, when they were hungry, God provided for them. And at nighttime, they got quail. And he's like, you had it all. You had it all. Why is he saying this to them? Does it make sense to tie it with verse 12? That anyone who thinks they stand, take heed lest he fall. Yes, because he said they were in such liberty. They had so many blessings, but we're gonna see now how they fell. And Paul says, I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to fall. And so he said, they all drank from the rock in verse 4. Who's the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. It says, the rock followed them and the rock was Jesus Christ. That's unreal. In Exodus 17:6, God says, go strike. The rock. Why? Because people were complaining, we don't have any water. Of course you ain't got water. There ain't no pipes in the wilderness, people. And so, you ain't got no water. And so Moses is like, okay, God, what do I do? These people are complaining all day long. I'm going crazy. Help me. And so God says, go to the rock. Strike it. And Moses struck the rock. And the reason why the rock is Jesus Christ, it's in Psalm 118:22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's the rock, Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 2, you got Nebuchadnezzar who sees the statue, and it's gold and silver and brass and iron. And he's like, what is this? And then there's a rock that's cut out not by hands of man, but it's just cut out by God. And that rock comes and just like, and the statue falls apart. That rock is Jesus Christ. The statue is world government. If you're worried about your leaders, if you're worried about the leaders across the world, and you're saying there's artificial intelligence, and there's this, and I'm going crazy, what's going to happen? The rock is about to come back and about to destroy this one world government. He's going to take it down. The rock is Jesus Christ. He strikes him, and Jesus on the cross was struck, and Jesus died for you and me. And it's not one thing to just know that. It's to accept it. It's to believe it. It's to take it and to say, you know what? I've done so many things in life, and you may not even be living in sin. You may be so successful and said, you know, I'm happy where I am. You may be happy where you are, but when you take your last breath without Jesus Christ, you are going to go, and I say this with a hurt in my heart, you're going to hell. You need Jesus Christ and his blood to go from this place, world, to eternity.
When I travel and I as a medical missionary and help my orphans and other things, I cannot get in without a passport. I'm like, don't you know me? You know, I don't need no passport. I'm good. You know, you don't know me. Oh, and they're like, no, we don't know you, sucker. Get back in line. Get your passport. Where's your passport? And then people are trying to enter into heaven going, I'm good. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. I say that with a hurt heart because when my patients are sick, I don't just say, good luck to you, baby. Go on home. Take care of your own business. I help them. But I want to help you spiritually today. And if you need Jesus Christ, you need him today. 50% of my patients, 50% in America actually, of those who have heart attacks actually die at home. They don't make it to the hospital. You don't have time. You really, really don't. Today is your day. And so now in verse 5, he says that God was not pleased with many of them, most of them. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 30, only two made it. The ones who came through the Red Sea, you remember? Those who were 20 and older, they all died in the wilderness because of their sin. And we're going to find out what it was. They all died. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, made it through. So that's why he's saying, hey, I don't care what your liberties are. I don't care how strong you feel. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care what degrees you have. If you don't take heed, you are going to fall. Take heed. And so we come to verse 6, and he says, I'm telling you this as an example. That's why he keeps history. You keep history so we can have an example of what bad things we have done and what good we can do for each other today. And in verse 7, it says, neither be you idolaters like they were. And they ate and drank and rose up to play. In verse 7, and when he says they rose up to play, he's not talking about ping pong in the wilderness. He's not talking about pickleball. He's not talking about baseball. He's not talking about football, 6 points, touchdown. No. When it says play, he means like they were naked. And we find that out in Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. They were naked. They were doing a jiggy naked in public. And they were having all kinds of relationships in public. Orgies is what they were doing. And God's like, no. No, this is not going to happen. And that's when Moses was on top of the mountain and he was getting the 40 commandments. We can't even keep 10. How are we going to keep 40? He was up there 40 days to get the 10 commandments. Hello. 40 days up there to get the 10 commandments. And God's like, you gotta go back down. And he goes back down and they're having all these problems. And how did that happen to Aaron? They come to Aaron and go, Moses, where is Moses? People complain all the time. I know that's not you, right? They go, where's Moses? He's dead now. Make us a God. And we'll say this God brought us out of Egypt. Really? So they get all the gold. And Aaron throws it in the fire. And when Moses comes back and he's mad at Aaron, his brother, he's like, what did you do? And Aaron's like, I don't know. I just threw the gold in the fire and out came a calf. Really? You crazy, bro. The calf is just not going to come out of the fire. You molded that thing with your hand. He did it himself. And then they said, these are the gods. This is the God who brought you out of Egypt, Israel. Worship the... Orgies, 3,000 die right then because sin is sin. It's not called a fling or an affair. It's called sin. Shacking up is called sin. Just want to let you know, straight out from the Lord. I know it hurts, but I'm telling you in love. So now, he's like, okay, they played, they messed up, 3,000 go down. Okay, number 8, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication like they did. and 23,000 of them died. And you're like, how did that happen? Okay, so you go to Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24. You got Israelites after 38 years, they're gonna cross over and they're gonna go into the promised land, right? And the promised land, by the way, is a picture of you and I as Christ followers being in a state of peace and joy and in the word of God. It is not heaven, okay? Because they had to go there and fight against the Canaanites. So it's not a picture of heaven, but the wilderness is a picture of what most Christians are living in today, angst, anxiety, depression, heartache, fear, anger, unforgiveness, and just like I'm mad at, I could tear somebody's head off, but I love Jesus. And so that's today's Christ followers. I'm telling you the truth in love because you and I got to change today. Today is your day of salvation. And so this dude named Balak, he's the king of Moab, which is modern day Jordan. He tells a false prophet, he gets this false prophet, his name is Balaam. And he said, you gotta come and curse these people because they're about to come on my border and they're gonna go across, I want them out. And so they do what they do. He gets the false prophet. He comes, Balaam comes, and he wants to curse them. But every time he wants to curse them, blessings come out of his mouth. He blesses Israel. And Balak's like, dude, you got, are you listening? You got hearing aids? What's your problem? And he goes, I need you to curse them, not bless them. Three times, blessing. You know, and the fourth time when he speaks in Numbers 24, 17, you know what he says? A star is coming out of Jacob. And you're like, what's that? You know, that is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. A star. It ain't no Hollywood star. Oh, no. It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's coming out of the tribe of Jacob, from Jacob. And then Balak, the king, talks to Balaam and said, sorry, man. I had all kinds of goodies for you, like a Lamborghini and the ladies and the money and the gold, but you lost out. And Balaam's like, what, Lamborghini? Oh, no, oh, hang on. I couldn't curse them, but I will teach you how you can take them out because I want my car. And so he tells them, this is how you do. What does he do? He said, you get your Moabite women, all them pretty ladies, and you dress them up real good in their fine looking red dress, and you get their little idols and you bring them down to the Israelites, and then they come and talk to them and watch what happens. So these ladies came all the way to the Israelites and they're like, hey baby, all right. And the guys are like, me? You're like, yeah baby, you look so fine. And all of a sudden, this man, me, becomes putty in her hands, and they start having all kinds of relationships in their tents. And right then and there, 23,000 men die in one day because sin is sin. And 23,000 die. And then you, where was that? Let's see, it's in verse 8. 20,000, which is 23,000 people died. If you look at Numbers 25:9, it says 24,000 people died. Ooh, the Bible wrong. 24,000 in the OT, Old Testament. 23, is Paul losing his mind? No, the Bible's always right, but the pundits always come and say, well, I told you your Bible's wrong. Shut up, my Bible ain't wrong. You wrong, and you're gonna die, but this Bible gonna live. So there. Don't get me all excited. I go after them. How does that happen? Well, 23,000, it's so specific here. 23,000 died in one day, but the plague lingered, and the other 1,000 died the next day. Bible. Oh, the Bible. The Bible. So good. In verse 9, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. What happened then? Well, they were in the wilderness. This is in Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. They're in the wilderness, and they're like, we don't like it here. I know y'all don't complain, and nobody ever said that. Don't look at the person right beside you. We don't like it. Why is God doing this to us? Look, dude, you got the manna. You got air conditioning. You got quail. What's your problem? Stop complaining. You got so much. And so this is how they are falling, right? Let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And so this is how he's trying to talk to them and how he's trying to educate them, right? And they complain, and God sent them snakes. And the snakes bit them. And they started dying. And they're like, Moses, help us. And Moses is like, God, what do I do? And God says, okay, put up a pole. Put a brass snake on it. And let the people come and look at the pole, and they'll be healed. And you're like, that's crazy. How'd that happen? You know what that is? The brass is judgment. The snake is sin. I'll take you 1,500 years after that story from the wilderness to Jesus Christ. There is the cross, and that's the pole. There is Jesus Christ, who is pure and beautiful and lovely, and God himself. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he is God. And so he's on the cross, and when he takes on your sins and my sins, and he takes on your past and my past, and he takes on your anxiety and my anxiety, and he takes on your junk and my junk, and he takes on your sickness and my sickness, and he takes on your troubles and my troubles, he becomes like that snake. Just for you and me. Because that's how gracious Jesus is. He is worthy of our praise, amen. He is worthy of our praise. When I look at the audience and I see people who are broken, people who are hurt, and I'm with you. And things aren't going right in your life. Some people are having such awful moments in life right now, and they've been awful things in the past. But with that surrounding you, can I ask you one thing to do right here with me, and myself included? Can we just praise God for who he is? Just say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you. You are good. You are good. You are worthy. You are worthy. I honor you. I honor you. I don't care what I'm going through. I honor you. You are worthy of praise no matter what I go through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He is worthy. He is so worthy. And he says, neither murmur you in verse 10, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. I love that word murmur. Y'all ever see one of these? This is a stethoscope. I love my stethoscope. And I listen to the heart all day long, yes, for my patients to make sure they're okay. But sometimes I hear a murmur when I'm listening. What is a murmur? Well, your heart has valves, which are like doors, and blood goes from one chamber to the next chamber. In order to go from one chamber to the next chamber, it's gotta go through a door or a valve. When that valve is healthy, all good, I can't hear no murmurs. But when that valve is stenotic or tight, I hear a sound. That's a murmur. And when it's leaky, I hear a sound. That's a murmur. And we rate murmurs in cardiology from 1 to 6. 1, low murmur. And 6, a harsh, harsh murmur. And when I hear a murmur, something is wrong in the heart. There's the sound is just the symptom of what I know something is brewing in the heart. So these Israelites murmured. Now, I want to show you something, what I see almost on an everyday basis, an echocardiogram. This is not a boy. And it is not a girl. It is the heart. And so this is right here, this portion is called the left ventricle. It's actually your horsepower behind the heart, the pump, how it squeezes the blood, and it goes all through your head and arms and legs. This is how the horsepower is right here. And when it squeezes the blood, ejects the blood, it's gotta go through this door. Y'all see how that door, aortic valve, is opening and closing? It's opening beautifully. And so there is no murmur, and it goes through the aorta, it goes through your head and all that. You're all happy all day long. This is how I know I did not come from no amoeba. An amoeba can't do this, y'all. So my God did that. Yes, he's good. He's the creator. So that is the valve. Now let's look at the next valve. This is the same valve on a different patient. This is the left ventricle. This is the aortic valve. Compare this valve, normal, to this valve. You see the difference? This valve is not opening. And so when the blood rushes through that valve, you hear a murmur. Something is wrong in the heart. So when you and I are murmuring, grumbling, complaining, something is wrong in your heart and my heart. And on a scale of 1 to 6, 1 being a low murmur, 6 being a very high murmur, what would you rate yourself? And don't tell me. So that's a murmur, and he's like, they were murmuring, and they were destroyed by the destroyer in verse 10. And in Numbers chapter 16, verse 14, it said they were destroyed of the destroyer. 14,700 people were destroyed just like this because they're wow, wow, wow. And I'm shocked that he puts murmuring with adultery and fornication and idolatry. Look how serious that is. You know why I had you and I praise him today? Because we are complaining constantly, and it's time to praise him even in the fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now we get to this in verse 11. It says, these are examples that I'm giving to you. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. I'm letting you know, Paul's saying, don't do what our forefathers did. And now this letter is made for you and me, and it's coming to verse 12 where it says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And the only thing in between standing and falling is taking heed. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. It's time to take heed, loved ones. It's time to change your ways and my ways. It's time to throw the past to the past and say, my God has made everything new in my life. How do we do this? We pray. When we pray, what happens? We talk to God. Number two, we meditate on his word. When we meditate, we hear from God. And number three, and you might not like this, but we're gonna go through trials and temptations because we need to depend on God. So when you're looking at your trials and tribulations and you and I are going, stop that murmuring and let's start praising and say, God, this is a hard time, but I depend on you. Depend on you. Depend on you, Lord. You know, in Proverbs 16:18, it says that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And man of God, woman of God, take heed. You and I are gonna face many trials and temptations. And we need to be in the word with the helmet of salvation covering our head because the blood of Jesus runs down from that helmet. And we need to wear that shield. We need to wear the breastplate of righteousness because God made you righteous. If you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, I don't care what your past is. I don't care what today is. If you get the blood of Jesus Christ, everything falls off and you become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You wear the belt. Hallelujah. You wear that belt of truth.
The truth is Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Everything else is a lie. Jesus only. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It is not through an idol. It is not through religion. It is not through another God. It is not through money. It is not through education. It is not through a passport. It's through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how we are going to survive. So the peace. The shoes of peace, that's how you get life abundant. That's how we go to the promised land. You wear the shoes of peace because most Christ followers that I know are walking in angst and going, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna. You know who's taking care of you. He's not let you go and he won't let you go. He's been with you and he will still be with you for the rest of your life. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Now we come to verse 13, and there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And so this is not supernatural. You're like, I can't help it. It's the slot machine attacked me, and I lost all my money. Yo, the slot machine didn't attack you, man. Your hand was on that slot machine. You put the money in that slot machine, and you're the one that lost the house or whatever. The slot machine doesn't attack you. Ladies, let's say you had a good day in the morning, and you had yourself some Bible study. And you were like, I'm so happy. And then you had a little card that you wrote your verse on, and you're like, I'm gonna meditate on this all day long. And you got in your little car, you minding your own business. You're driving your little car, and then you look, and this man is jogging, and he don't have a shirt on. And you're like, ooh. And it's okay to say, ooh. But you drive a little more, and you look in the back rearview mirror, and you're like, I wonder if he could cross the street safely. I better go help that man. And that car, somehow, I don't know how, but the car kind of turns, turning. And that's when, ooh, becomes sin. So it's okay to be tempted. We're all tempted. It's common unto mankind. And it says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. God is so faithful. Yes, in Hebrews 10:23, he will have you victorious. You just gotta trust in him. Now, let's say you're a truck. I know you ain't a truck, but let's just imagine, okay? You're a truck, and you're the bed of the truck can carry 1 ton. Yes, you can carry 1 ton. You're good with that. God will never put 1 ton, 0.1 ounces on your truck. That's how good he is. He will screen things for you. Screen. So when you think about that, you're like, you know what? This is hard. This ton is heavy. I'm going through some hardship right now. But my God has screened this for me. Now, let me tell you one thing between trials and tribulations. Tribulations or temptations. Temptations are from Satan, and they're made to kill you and destroy you and me. Testing is from God, and it's made to make you strong and victorious in Jesus Christ. God will never, ever, ever tempt you, ever. That's in James chapter 1. He will never, ever tempt you. Satan, all day long, will not only tempt you and me, but he will accuse you and me all day long. And so being tempted is not a sin. You know, when David, let's say, we talk about three things that we need to worry about in this life, yes? Three things. Let me finish this verse and then tell you that. And so, but he, with all the temptations, he says he will make a way to escape, okay? God will make a way. You and I need to take the way. Does that make sense? He made the way for you. Every single time he makes a way. But you and I have to not make, take. He makes, you take.
He makes, you and I take. We take that way. We have to be cognizant of it, that you will be able to bear it so that we may endure it. We may persevere. You're like, I don't want to persevere. This is hard on me. Romans 5:3-5. He says, glorify in your trials and afflictions. And you're like, how can I glorify in my trials and afflictions? This is driving me crazy. And he says, you glorify in it because these trials and temptations are leading you to character, which leads you to perseverance, which leads you to hope. And hope will never disappoint you because hope is in Christ. And blessed be his name. He will help you all the way. So three things we are going to have to tackle in this life to be victorious and not to fall. Three things. One is self. We got to take care of self. Two is the world. And three is the devil. And one, self, is the flesh. And you want to ask anybody about the flesh? You can ask David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. He sees Bathsheba. She's taking a bath. And he says, fine, fine, fine. That was okay. But when he said, mine, 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 that was not okay. That's when he fell into sin. That's when he fell into adultery. That's when he fell into murder. So fine, 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 going to mine, mine, mine is the breaking point of what happens. And that's what we have to be very careful of. And so how do you overcome the flesh? I'm going to give you a new word I made up. Y'all ready? See shoe. Y'all say that. See shoe. Uh-huh. That's hard to say. Say it 10 times. No, don't. See shoe. See shoe is like see my shoe. And so when you're in a temptation, you tell the person who's tempting you, see my shoe, because you're going to run and they're going to see your shoe. Huh? I love that. That's crazy. I know my mind is kind of cooked. I don't know. The Lord, I just blame it on the Lord. And so now, you remember, where was it? Joseph, Genesis 39. You remember when Potiphar's wife, she's like, oh, hey, baby. And Joseph's like, see my shoe? And you know what? What if they call you a coward? Fine, you didn't fall into sin. You praised God with your body. The second problem we have is the world. And the world, it's not material things, right? And people are like, well, you shouldn't have that, and you shouldn't have that, and that's a sin. And no, material things aren't the problem. When the material things has you and me, that's the problem. Lot, in Genesis chapter 13, he goes and he's fighting with Abraham, and he goes, I want more land, I want more land, I want more land. And Abraham's like, look, take what you want. It's all yours. And so he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not sin. But when he got the land, that wasn't sin. But when the land got him, that was when he fell into sin. How do you overcome the world? You go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. We overcome the world through our faith. Faith. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I urge you, brethren and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern or the philosophy of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Through the Bible. Every day, not just once a week, 1 hour. God, I did you a favor. You did not do him a favor by coming here. He's doing you a favor. Every day, y'all, every day in the Bible. You don't need no movies. You got this. The Bible is what God, oh man, it gives you so much strength. It's unbelievable. And the third thing is the devil. And how do you fight the devil? The devil is in Corinthians, he is an angel of light to deceive you and me. And remember, to destroy you and me. Not to help you and me. So he's the angel of light and he comes to you. How do you deal with Satan? You fight. So when it comes to self and flesh, and it's the it's flight. You take flight. When it comes to the world, you do faith through the word of God. But when it comes to Satan, you fight. And how do you fight? You go to Satan and you tell him when he coming in your mind and saying, you see what you did in the past, you rotten, you did this and that, you did that procedure and this thing, and you're just not going to hell. And you're like, you're going to hell. You are going to hell because I got the blood of Jesus. You're a defeated foe. Colossians 2:15, God went on the cross, you crucified him. But when he rose, you are going down, Satan. I have more in me than you. You like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan, get out of my face. No weapons forged against me is going to prevail. And I'm going to get to refute every tongue that accuses me, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, the Lord. I am more than a conqueror. I will conquer you through Jesus Christ, not through me, but through Jesus Christ. That's how you fight. That's how you fight. That's how we win. That's how we win. In Numbers 23, we see that God looked at Israel, and you know what he said after all this fornication and adultery and all the serpents and the snakes? This just blows my mind. He says, I find no iniquity or sin in them. Why? Because of the blood that they sacrificed. And because of Jesus' blood, if you accept him, he will find no iniquity in you. Your past will be the past. You can let go of it. And you will be made a new creation. And you will be called righteousness. And when God looks at you, he says, this is my son. This is my daughter in whom I am pleased. That's your God. If you don't have him today, I beg of you. You have no idea what traffic is like. You have no idea what maybe your medical condition is like. You have no idea. We're in the end times. When you got artificial intelligence pushing at your door, we're in the end times. Jesus is coming back to take care of, to take his church home, and then the tribulation with a 666. You don't want to stay here during the tribulation. If you got air conditioning now and you don't want Jesus Christ, you are gonna be whacked out during the tribulation where there's real global warming, and you'll be like, where's my AC? You're gonna have to get a 666 just to get some food or some AC or whatever. You don't wanna be here. You wanna go home with Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna ask you to be bold. If you've heard the word of God and you're like, well, that makes sense, but I don't know. It's time. Today is your day of salvation. You need to come up here. Come up here, and I'm gonna pray for you. That's one. Come up here, loved one. If you don't have Jesus, don't. If your heart is pittering, pattering, you're like, hey, come up here now. And number two, if you are a Christ follower and you feel like you're in the wilderness, murmuring, getting bit by snakes, and your truck is falling apart, and you're like, I can't do this. Come up here. Let the past be the past. Let us pray together and let you be renewed. I'm challenging you to come up right now. Right now, I'm challenging you, loved ones, to come up. Come on up. If you want your past to be the past, come on up here. If you want to meet Jesus Christ, come on up here. Come on up. God bless you. God bless you, dear. God bless you, beautiful people. God bless you. 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 Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Blessings to you. Blessings. Blessings all. Blessings. Blessings. God bless you. Come on up, y'all. Don't be shy. 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 Hi, baby. Hi, loved one. Hey, buddy. Hi, God bless you guys. I'm gonna fall off stage here. God bless you. God bless you. Come on up. You wanna be new? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. God bless you, beautiful peoples. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're gonna pray for you. Blessings to you. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings upon blessings on y'all. God bless you. I can reach so far here without falling. Blessings, 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 blessings on you. Blessings, 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 blessings on all of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for this day. Hearts are being renewed right now. The murmur, the heart is changing right as we speak. So I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you, loved ones, okay? And I want you to pray out loud with me. I want you to scream this prayer. It's not like murmur mumbling. I want you to scream it out. And I want your past to be the past. I want Jesus Christ to make you new. And he's the only one, no doctor, no lawyer, no teacher, no, nobody can do this except Jesus. That's it. That's it. I'm going to pray with you. Get on my knees here. Whatever I say, say it. I don't know what I'm going to say, but it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you. I bless your name. I had no idea that I was deep in sin, that I was deep in darkness, I was deep in anxiety, I was deep in my hurt, I was chained by my past. Father God, I come to you. You love me so much that you sent your only son, Jesus. 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 And Father, he died for me on that cross. He became a serpent so that I may become righteous. And right now, I accept that blood, that pure blood, that holy blood, that righteous blood. And Father, I'm seeing it now. My past is gone. My brokenness is gone. I am forgiven. I am bought by the blood. I am your child. I belong to you. The Holy Spirit has now come into my heart. And he leads me. And he guides me. And he loves me. And I will listen to him. I will be in your word. I will meditate. I will talk to you. And I will depend on you. For you are my God. You are my Redeemer. You are my Creator. You are my banner. You are my provider. You are my Savior. You are my life. And I love you. I will walk with you all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! To the Lamb of God! To the Lamb of God! To the Lamb of God! Blessed be! Blessed be his name! Blessed be his name! Hallelujah! Loved ones, if you need any help, there are counselors on my left side to your right side, and they'll be there to help you, to pray with you, to guide you. And also, if you want to get baptized, you can get baptized today. And after the service, I'll be up here in the front to pray for anybody or love on anybody that wants to be prayed on or loved on. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. God keep you. God shine his face upon you. God be gracious to you. God turn his face towards you and give you his shalom, peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen, amen, and amen. Blessings, blessings, blessings on all of you.